Amen. Praise God. Amen. Hey, listen, I like that little arrangement. You know, you get the little company going and then we move to the piano. I don't know how y'all orchestrated all that, but y'all did good. That was pretty seamless. So I've never seen that arrangement done before, but we'll be taking up a love offering right after the service. We want to buy a new mouse to keep the wheel rolling. And obviously that one gave out, so we'll need a new mouse. So, but we're delighted. Amen. Hey, isn't God good?
Amen.
Isn't God good? I'm telling you. Things may change. Things may catch us by surprise. God's always in control. Amen. Hey, have your Bibles this morning. I want to invite you to follow along. We're in a series through the book of Jonah. And so if you'll find your place in the book of Jonah, we're in chapter 3 this morning. Jonah chapter 3. If you have a Bible like mine, that's on page 813. It's right after the book of Obadiah. Everybody can find Obadiah, right? So just start the back of your Old Testament, kind of work your way back. Malachi, Zechariah, all that. You'll get there. So we've been through this series. In Jonah chapter 1, most of us are familiar, or a lot of people are familiar with the story of Jonah and how God came to Jonah, told Jonah that he wanted him to go to Nineveh to preach. And Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. Jonah walked out on the front porch and Nineveh was to the east about 100 miles. And Jonah said, no, I'm going to Tarshish. I want to get as far away from God as I possibly can. And so we saw Jonah as he went down to Joppa, as he went down into the ship, as he went down and laid down, as he was thrown overboard, he went down, down, down into the sea. When you run from God, you can never run up. You always run down when you're running from God, right? Can I get a witness? Right? You've been there before, right? I've been there before. Last week in Jonah chapter 2, we saw as Jonah was praying to God from the belly of that fish. Jonah prayed to God, cried out to God, and God delivered him. The Bible says that God had prepared this fish for Jonah so that he could save Jonah, so that he could take Jonah to where Jonah needed to be. And now in chapter 3, we see Jonah spit out from that fish. And now God comes to Jonah again, says, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. And Jonah is making a beeline to Nineveh. Years ago, there was a great evangelist, American evangelist, named Jonathan Edwards. Jonathan Edwards preached a sermon entitled Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. It was a great and powerful sermon. Jonathan Edwards was having a difficulty seeing. He wore very thick lens glasses. His eyesight was failing. And he wrote his sermons out word for word. And he would read those. And so he stood in a dimly lit sanctuary holding the text close to his face. And he read, just in a very monotone voice, this sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. But while he was preaching, the power of God was so much on him and in that place that people were gripping the pews and shaking and crying out, stop, stop, because they were under such conviction of God. This morning we see Jonah. Jonah is preaching. Sinners in the hands of an angry God. He goes to Nineveh and he preaches to this great city there that they are to repent. So look with me, if you will, Jonah chapter 3 in verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. Praise God. Say amen that God's a God of second chances. Amen. Man, I'm telling you, I praise God that he's a God of second chances, third chances, fourth chances, that he's patient and long-suffering with us, right? But he's not to be tested. Not to be tested, okay? So Jonah, the word of God comes to Jonah the second time. He says, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and he went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3-day journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and he said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Then the word came to the king of Nineveh. And he arose from his throne, and he laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd, nor flock taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish? Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said that he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. So Jonah, man, he's spit out by that fish. He's thrown out onto the beach. God comes to him a second time, says, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh, and I want you to give the message that I've told you. I want you to see this picture. Can you imagine? Jonah has been in the belly of a fish. He is praying and he is crying out to God. And this fish vomits him out onto the land. So that's not a pleasant sight, right? So when Jonah comes out, he's got slime and everything all over him. His body has been affected by the gastric acids in the belly of that fish. And he comes out and God says, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. Now listen, Nineveh had a very bad reputation. It was not the place you wanted to go. If you could imagine one of the worst places, one of the vilest places, one of the most crime-ridden places in the world, you wouldn't want to go there. And so that's where God was sending Jonah to go. And can you imagine old Jonah? He hits the beach. God says, go to Nineveh, Nineveh. And Jonah's making a beeline to Nineveh. And his friends say, Jonah, where are you going? I'm going to Nineveh. Man, aren't you afraid to go to Nineveh? I'd be afraid not to go to Nineveh. Let me tell you where I've been. Nineveh's going to be a whole lot better, right? And so, man, he's going to Nineveh to preach. And when he gets there, he gives them this message. And so I want you to notice kind of three features, if you will, of Jonah's message this morning. Notice, first of all, that Jonah proclaimed God's word. God says, Jonah, I want you to go and I want you to give a message that I am going to tell you. And so Jonah goes. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. Yes, God is good and he's faithful. Listen, the Bible says in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, for I am the Lord, I do not change. Jonah had tried to get out of God's will. Jonah had tried to run from God. Jonah tried to circumvent God's purpose and God's plan for him and for Nineveh, but God's plans always work. The Bible says in Proverbs that many are the plans of a man, but God orders his steps, right? And so God's going to take this plan. So God's word had not changed. God's assignment didn't change. And listen, God will never adjust to you. You always have to adjust to God. And so Jonah's made this adjustment and he's going to God. And the Bible says in verse 4, it says, and he cried out. He cried out. I want you to see the emphasis of this verse. The Bible says that he cried out. And in the original, it says that he lifted up his voice. He's lifting up his voice like a trumpet that everyone might hear. They weren't blessed in the day of having handy-dandy little microphones and speakers and all those kind of things. And so if the whole city was going to hear, he was going to have to cry out, right? Some of you are saying, well, we have those things. Won't you calm down? Listen, when the Spirit of God comes over you, like it did to Jonah, man, you can't help but get excited, right? And so Jonah is being obedient to God, and he's crying out to all the people that they might hear God's word. In Ezekiel chapter 2 and verse 7, it says this, you shall speak my words to them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are rebellious. In Acts chapter 18 and verse 9, it says this, now the Lord spoke to Paul in a night vision, do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city. Listen, friends, I'm telling you that there's a city to be reached. There's a Nineveh that needs to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And we cannot keep silent. We must cry out God's word. Now, it's interesting. Jonah's message was very brief. Eight words here in our text. If you look at it in the original Hebrew, it's only five words. And he says, repent. He says, repent. 40 days and Nineveh is going to fall, right? He gives a very brief message. I heard a story about a preacher. He had preached a very short sermon one day, and they came to him. They said, preacher, that's an awful short sermon that you preached there. And he said, well, I can explain that. He said, my dog got into my office and chewed up my notes. There was a guest there that day, and they were leaving out. They overheard the preacher, and they came to the preacher. They said, if your dog ever has pups, could you sell them to our preacher? Sometimes we wish that the preacher would be a little shorter, right? Listen, Jonah had a good word from God, and it was a short word. It was a brief word. Now, think about this. I think about back in the day when we used to have, y'all, anybody remember those two-week revivals we used to have? Right? Remember those two-week revivals? Then we kind of narrowed it down to a week. Now we try to get it down to Monday or Sunday through Wednesday, you know? And so listen, we're kind of adjusting through the times. And listen, old Jonah, he didn't need 2 weeks. He didn't need a month. He didn't need a 3 day. He just needed one day to proclaim the truth of God's word. See, what's important is not the length of time, but it's the content of the message. And Jonah had the word of God. He had the truth of God's word. And he shared the truth of God's word, and the Holy Spirit moved in the hearts and lives of people, and God's word was affected. Now notice, Jonah's word was also blunt. He preached the wrath of God. He said, in 40 days, and Nineveh's going to be wiped out. 40 days, and it's over with. He doesn't try to sugarcoat it. He doesn't try to say, listen, it'll be okay, baby. Listen, it'll be all right. You just do what you need to do for 39 days and it'll be okay. No, that's not what Jonah was doing. I mean, Jonah just put it black and white, right? Jonah just told him, hey, listen, 40 days and Nineveh will be no more. Now, if you don't appreciate fire and brimstone, you wouldn't like Jonah at all, okay? I heard about an old preacher back in the 1800s, Horatius Bonner. He preached boldly, preaching the word of God. And listen, he says, bold preaching is the only preaching that is owned of God. We need to just tell people honestly, right? I remember several years ago, I woke up in the middle of the night. I was hurting. Went to the doctor. Went to the hospital that night. And the doctor came in. They had done a CT scan. Found that I had a tumor in my kidney. They came in. They said, Mr. Wright, we found cancer in your kidney. I thought, well, that's nice. They didn't sugarcoat it. They didn't say anything, you know, to try to ease into it. They just told, hey, you know what? I kind of appreciated that. Hey, here's the situation, here's the problem, here's the solution, and we're going to get it. Amen? Amen? That's what Jonah does. Jonah says, comes in, and he says, hey, here's the problem, here's the situation. Listen, we've got more folks today that are convinced and concerned about climate change than Jesus coming back. Jonah came in and said, hey, here's the problem. You need to turn to Christ. Amen? Listen, I understand. I'm not trying to argue with the science, okay? Everybody's talking about climate change and the end of the world and all this kind of thing. Can I tell you something? They're right. The world's coming to an end. Right? Jesus is coming back again one day. Amen. Jesus is coming back. You read Revelation, and Revelation describes everything that's happening, okay? It's leading up to all of this, all right? And so, rather than trying to save the fishes and the trees and the whales, what we need to try to do is save lost people from hell for eternity. And so Jonah's emphasis is on the people of Nineveh. And he shares with them this blunt message of God. But look, Jonah's message was also blessed. As a result of this one man, this one day crusade, this massive revival breaks out. We're going to look at this in just a minute. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 2. Paul says, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Hear me this morning. The Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us, you, me, everybody in here, everybody out there, everybody watching, everybody listening. The Bible says that the wages of those sins is death. That word death means separation. It means that you're separated from God. He says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. If you don't know anything, if you don't hear anything else this morning, understand this, you're a sinner in need of a Savior. And there's no other name under heaven by which men might be saved than that of Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's the message that we need to proclaim from the church. Man, so often, man, we get distracted. We want to try to help people find a healthy life. We want people to try to find a happy life. We want to try to find people that can get out of debt and, you know, be stress-free and all those kind of things. Listen, I'm telling you, there's rich people that are stress-free, that have no bills, and they're very healthy, and they still die and go to hell. It's only in a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ that we can have eternal life. But notice also, not only did Jonah proclaim God's word, but notice how Nineveh responded. Nineveh humbled themselves to God's word. Notice what it says there in verse 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Then word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from his violence that is in his hand. Who can tell if God will turn and relent, turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish? Man, when Jonah preached the word of God, that they repented, they humbled themselves. Now, Jonah had given them 40 days. They didn't wait 40 days to think about it. I mean, they repented immediately. They humbled themselves immediately. I think about old Noah. Noah preached for 120 years. There's a flood coming. Can you imagine old Noah's out there working on that ark? He's beating and banging, sawing, cutting, putting together. Noah, what you doing? Well, I'm building an ark. Why are you building an ark? Because it's going to flood. What's a flood? Well, it's going to rain. What's rain? See, they didn't listen to Noah. They thought he was out of his mind. This guy's crazy. But then the first drop of rain fell, and they said, Noah, can we get in? I've given you 120 years. You wouldn't listen to me. The Bible says Jeremiah preached for 40 years, never had a convert. Jonah goes into the city, and he preaches one day, says they got 40 days, and they didn't wait. They came right then. Here's a real important question this morning. What's your deadline? What's your deadline? I remember growing up in church and doing all the little church things. But I also remember just growing up and life and thinking about what I wanted to do and what I wanted to be and all those kind of things. And I don't know why. I don't know why I thought it was, but for some reason, I thought if you were 25, you were ancient. I've come to realize if you're 25, you probably don't know anything. No, that was true for me. I know a lot of 25-year-olds that are really, really smart. But for some reason, when I was growing up, I thought, man, if you get 25, you're just old. If you hadn't done it by your time you're 25, you're probably not going to do it, okay? That's just, I don't know why I had that in my mind. And listen, I got baptized when I was 6 years old, didn't mean a thing. I got baptized when I was 12 years old, didn't mean a thing. Y'all, some of y'all have heard my testimony and just how far away from God I was and playing all the little church games and all this kind of thing. And then finally, one Sunday morning, the first Sunday morning of revival, after a lot of other things had happened in my life, I went to church that morning knowing, man, I need to get it right. I need to get it nailed down right now. I don't know what they sung that morning. I don't know what the preacher preached that morning. I couldn't wait till the invitation. When the invitation was given, I grabbed my wife by the hand. I walked down the aisle and I gave my heart to Christ, and I made him Lord and Savior of my life from that day forward. My father-in-law was the pastor. Brother Mickey was the pastor. I walked down the aisle, told my father-in-law that I needed to ask Jesus in my heart. I need to allow him to be the Lord of my life. Now, we prayed together. He sat me right here on the front row in our church there at Sheeny Baptist Church in West Monroe. He sat me on this side of the church on the very front row. And I was sitting there waiting for the rest of the invitation to conclude. And this thought came to my mind. Bill Wright, you're 25 years old. This was it, buddy. If I had rejected God one more time, I can't tell you where I'd be today. But I'm as convinced today as I was that day that God had a deadline on my life. Unbeknownst to me, for many years, Holy Spirit would have been withdrawn from me and I'd have never been convicted of my sins again. So the question this morning is, when's your deadline? what are you waiting on? Well, you know, when I get out of high school and figure it all out in college, then I'm going to get my life straight and I'm going to turn my heart over to the Lord. Hey, when we get through raising the kids and life slows down a little bit and we're a little more financially sound and I can really serve in the church and I can really do some things, then I'm going to give my life to Christ and I'm going to serve Him from that day forward. Hey, when I get through with this job and I retire and I have all the time in the world, man, I'm going to give my heart to Christ and I'm going to serve Him for the rest of my days. Maybe that's what you think your deadline is. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1, "We then, as workers together with Him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For He says, 'In an acceptable time, I have heard you, and in the day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time.'" Behold, now is the day of salvation. When the Holy Spirit speaks into your heart, now is the time. Friend, my desire is that you wouldn't even wait for the invitation this morning. That right now in your heart, you'd say, you know what, that preacher's right. Man, I've been living a life apart from God. I believe in God. I've believed all these things. I've gone to church, but I've never allowed Christ to really be the Lord of my life. I pray right now that you would just say, God, right now, be the Lord of my life from this moment forward. Listen, if I weren't saved today, I wouldn't wait another day. I wouldn't wait another minute. That's what Nineveh did. Nineveh, when they heard God's word preached, they repented immediately. It says, so the people. It started with the common people and it worked its way up. Man, you want to change a nation? You want to change a community? You want to change a neighborhood? You start with you. You start with individuals coming to know Christ. I love verse 7. In verse 7 it says, even the beast. I mean, the king said, I don't even want the cows, the flocks, the herds. I don't want anybody to drink or eat anything. Put sackcloth on all of them. Even the animals. I went to a house to make a visit one time. And I got out of the car and they had a fence around the front yard. And there was a guy standing in the front yard. And I didn't really know who I was going to see. And so I got out of the car and there was this dog barking and yapping. And I got out and introduced myself to the guy and asked him if he was so-and-so. And he said, no, they're in the house. He says, come on in. And I said, does your dog bite? And he said, no, man. It's just all bark. There's no bite. And so I said, okay. So I opened the gate and I went on in. And we got to the door and he had gone in ahead of me. And I stepped in the door and closed the door behind me. And I looked around and I heard him say, sit, stop. And I turned around and it was the biggest Rottweiler you ever seen in your life. He said, now that one might. And that dog ran up to me and put his nose right here. And he sat there growling. He said, I'll be right back. I prayed. I fasted. I wept. I repented of everything that I had ever said to my wife. He was gone for 3 days and 3 nights. He finally came back in the room. Man, I was sweating. I was praying for this dog's salvation. Listen, man, even the animals got right, he says. Now notice this, that there's three elements of their repentance. First of all, it says, so the people of Nineveh believed God. They believed what Jonah said about God was true. That's faith. That's believing. The first step of coming to know Christ as your Lord and Savior is by faith. To say, yes, I believe that I'm a sinner, and I believe that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for my sins. And by faith, I put my trust and faith in Him, that Jesus Christ is who He says He is, and that He came and did what He said He did. By faith. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. By faith they simply believed. And then the Bible says that they fasted. They proclaimed a fast. It was an indication of godly sorrow. It wasn't that they just simply said, oh yeah, we believe what God says, and God's good, we're sinners, and so we're just going to trust Him and believe in Him, but then we're just going to go and live our life like nothing's ever changed. No, there was a change, not only in their heart, but there was a change throughout their whole life. And they fasted and they prayed. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 10, it says, for godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. Let me tell you what that means. You ever got caught doing something wrong? I have plenty of times. And I have been sorry. I have been sorry that I got caught. Not sorry that I did it. Kind of enjoyed it. Thought it was fun. If I ever had another chance, I'd probably do it again. But I was sorry that Mom and Dad found out. That's the kind of sorrow that leads to death. But man, when you get caught and you're broken and you truly repent, you don't ever want to do that again. That's godly sorrow. That's godly sorrow. And that's what they did. And then thirdly, they received forgiveness. They received the forgiveness of God. Listen, the king prayed. He said, listen, let's repent. Let's put on sackcloth. He says, who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from His fierce anger so that we may not perish? Which brings us then to this last point, and that is that God relented from His word. Notice what it says in verse 10. Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil ways, and God relented from the disaster that He had said He would bring upon them, and He did not do it. So Jonah proclaims the word of God. The people humble themselves at the word of God, and then God relents from His word. Now, this gets a little confusing sometimes if we don't understand the text fully. The Bible says that God relented of His threat of destruction. Now remember earlier in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, I told you that for I am the Lord, I do not change. So what does it mean when God relented from His word? It is that God's message is one of repentance. And maybe in your translation, in the King James translation, it uses the word actually repent here. But in the Hebrew here, it's a different word when referring to men repenting and God repenting. So this word really means to draw breath. It means to have compassion. It means to sigh. It means that they humbled themselves, they fasted, and they prayed, and they asked God to forgive them. And God went, okay, you're forgiven. You're forgiven. Every one of us deserve death and eternity in hell. And when we cry out to God, God says, you're forgiven. Praise God, amen. I'm thankful this morning. Listen, amen. Give God some praise this morning. And if you've ever been forgiven, praise God this morning. God relents. God forgives. God restores. Listen, if God was concerned, here's the image. If God is so concerned about Nineveh that He would send Jonah to preach, then obviously God had made a way that He could save Nineveh, right? Otherwise, God would have just said, you know what, we're going to wipe Nineveh out. That's the God that we serve. Remember over a little further in the Old Testament there, when Abraham, God was going to wipe out Sodom and Gomorrah, and He said, you know what, I'm not going to keep this from Abraham. I'm going to tell Abraham. And I'm going to go, and He says, Abraham, I'm going down there to Sodom and Gomorrah, and I'm going to wipe them out. Remember what Abraham said? He said, Lord, let me ask you a question. Lord, if we found 50 righteous there, would you still wipe out? Well, I'll tell you what, Abraham, if we can find 50 there, I'll relent. I'll forgive them. I'll spare them. Well, Lord, let me ask you another question. What about 45? You know, that's pretty close to 50, right? You know, if you was a pastor and you look around and say, well, we probably got about 500 people here this morning, give or take. You know, That's kind of what Abraham, but what if we get close enough? And you know, remember in that passage he works with, all the way down to 10. God said, if we find 10 righteous, I'd spare the city. We have a God who is a God of forgiveness. We have a God who's always willing to forgive and to relent. God's sentencing of Jonah was conditional. Notice God's word through the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 18 and verse 8 says, if that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. Listen, some folks say, you know, I couldn't serve a God, or I wouldn't serve a God who would send people to a place like hell. Well, God wouldn't send anybody to hell. You choose. God gives you a free will. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's will and God's desire this morning is that you come to a point, place in your life where you repent so that he can relent. So that you can have forgiveness of your sins and spend eternity with him. The story of Jonah is really an incredible story of miracles. Sadly, oftentimes when we think about Jonah, when we teach about Jonah, we really emphasize the great miracle of God, where this fish swallows Jonah and he spends time in the belly of this fish and then he spits him out. Right? That's what we teach kids all growing up. Everything about Jonah is about being swallowed by the whale, or by the great fish, and surviving and being spit out. Well, that is a great miracle, right? Now that's a wonderful miracle. But we overlook the greatest miracle of all. The greatest miracle of all is that Jonah went to Nineveh and preached, and this great city of 120,000 people got right with God. That's the great miracle of Jonah. Amen? Praise God this morning. Listen, the Bible talks about in Acts where the apostles went and preached and the whole city got saved. We get excited when two people get baptized, and I praise God this morning that we have young people and older people alike. You know, somebody as old as Madison comes and gets saved and gets baptized this morning. Somebody as young as Miss Trudy this morning comes to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Amen? Man, that's wonderful. But listen, I'm not satisfied with two. I want Vicksburg for Jesus. Praise God this morning. My God is able to save to the uttermost. If there's one in Vicksburg that doesn't know about Jesus, we still have work to be done. Jonah went to this great city and he preached and they all come to know Christ. Listen. In the May edition, 1984, the May edition of the National Geographic, they showed pictures drawing from the Roman city Pompeii, where in AD 79, there was a great earthquake, the volcano erupted, and all of that civilized portion of the world was destroyed. And archaeologists have been in there digging and looking through all those ruins and finding things. And it's really fascinating what they find. The fascinating part is that they found people in the marketplaces. They found women who were shopping. They found the rich who were laying in bathtubs. They found people just in all walks of life going about their business when suddenly they were overtaken and destroyed. And as sad as that is, it could have been avoided. For weeks, there were rumblings. There were warnings given that the volcano could erupt at any minute. There were plumes of smoke that could be clearly seen from the city. And everyone ignored it. Rhonda and I had been married about 10 years. She told her dad, she said, Dad, you've been preaching that Jesus was going to come back any day now. He said, yeah. She said, you know, when I married Bill, I was kind of counting on that. I didn't really think I was going to have to be married to him this long. I was really hoping the Lord was going to come back soon. Listen, we've been preaching that Jesus is coming back any day now for 2,000 years. The Bible says that there's some who have grown cold. There's some who've quit believing that. Some of you this morning say, you know what, we go to church and we hear the preacher preach and we do life and we're doing all those kind of things, but never crosses your mind, you know what, that today might be your last day. Some of you are young and invincible and you'll never die. So you think. Some of you this morning think, well, we're just gonna live forever, and one day, you know, we're gonna walk out of this old world and we're gonna be with Jesus forever. And we never give a second thought to the fact that today might be the day that the Lord returns. And the Bible describes on that day that there'll be people that'll just be going about life. There'll be people in the marketplaces, there'll be people hanging out in at home. There'll be people, you know, in the sports venues. There'll be people in airplanes. There'll be people just going about all the different walks of life. There'll be people at work. There'll be people at school. There'll be people, the Bible says there'll be two laying in the bed, one to be gone and one to be left. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Don't get caught off guard. Don't be left behind. Come to Christ today. I want all of Vicksburg to know that there's a God who loves them. There's a God who sent His Son to die on the cross for their sins so that they could have forgiveness. And all of Vicksburg starts right here this morning. If you're watching online, if you're listening on the radio, right now this morning, the sound of my voice, would you just simply say, God, today, forgive me. Come into my heart and be the Lord of my life. Would you cry out to Him today? Just as brief and as blunt as Jonah's message was to Nineveh, as brief and blunt is our prayer to God. God, save me. Would that be your prayer today? Would you bow with me this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed? Father God, this morning, God, we come and we humble ourselves this morning, God, to acknowledge that You're God, that You're holy and righteous, and God, that we are sinful people in need of a Savior. And God, that You loved us so much that You sent Your Son, Jesus, to die on a cross for our sins. God, I pray this morning, God, that just by simple childlike faith, there would be those that would just believe this morning. God, they would put their faith and their trust in You and You alone. Holy Spirit, speak now into hearts and lives. Father, in this invitation time, we ask You to have Your will and Your way today. God, be magnified and glorified. God, I give You all the praise, and I ask You this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. This morning, Brother Mike's going to come and lead us in a hymn of invitation. This is your opportunity to respond to God's message. This morning, will you, simple faith, believe, trust? Maybe you've already, man, in the service, you said, God, I'm listening. God, I'm hearing. God, I repent. God, I want You to forgive me. Come into my heart right now. Listen, we want to celebrate that with you. Man, we want to be able to help you in your new walk with Christ. And so this morning, if you've prayed that prayer, if you've asked Christ, if you've trusted Christ this morning, in a moment, when we stand and sing, I'm going to ask you just to step out from where you're sitting, make your way forward, say, Pastor, today, I believe. I want to pray with you. I want to celebrate with you. We want to help you today. Maybe today your church membership is somewhere else. We invite you to come be a part of our family here at Trinity to worship and to grow together and to encourage one another together to help reach Vicksburg for Jesus. So we invite you to come this morning. Maybe you want to just come and pray this morning. Maybe there's someone you know, a grandchild or a child or a co-worker or a neighbor that you want to come and just pray for this morning. Would you come and pray for them today? As we stand and as we sing, you come right now. Without waiting, without hesitating, come this morning.
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness.
morning for just a second. Thank you so much for being here, being in worship with us today. Those that are watching, those that are listening on radio, thank you for being a part of our worship service today. Hey, weren't you glad somebody said, hey, let's go to church this morning? Amen? Amen, man. My prayer constantly is that God would fill His house with His people. And then God would fill His people with His Spirit. And I pray this morning you've experienced the presence and the Spirit of God in your heart and in your life. And not being transformed because you've been to church, but because you've been in the presence of the Almighty. Amen? Man, it's been good this morning. It's been a good, good morning. And so I want to encourage you. Hey, tonight, 5 o'clock, we'll be back in our small group times. We talk about life. We have a number of classes that are meeting right now. Billy and Sandy Bracher are teaching a class on anxiety, trying to get rid of anxiety. And so if you feel a little stressed out, that's a good place to be. My wife teaches a class, Mind, Body, and Spirit, and in tune with what God's purpose and will is for your life and mind, body, and spirit. I teach a class on 7 challenges that men face. 7 challenges that men face. We get to talk about men issues. Guys, if you feel like you never get a word in because your wife does all the talking, you come in our class. No girls allowed. And so you come in there, okay? I can say that because my wife's not in here. She's back there in children's church this morning, right? And then Brother Chris is teaching a class, and it's a study through the book of Ephesians. And so come be a part of that as well. So we've got something for everyone. So be back tonight at 5 o'clock for our small group times. Leslie, come up here. This is Miss Leslie Graham. Leslie's been worshiping with us for several months now. And she's coming this morning wishing to unite to be a part of our family here at Trinity. Amen. The church and all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Man, we praise God. Give her a Trinity welcome, Miss. I'm so grateful. I want you to stand right here. I want all these folks to come by and greet you, okay? But I don't want you to have to stand here by yourself, okay? So I'm going to get Madison and Miss Trudy to come up here, okay? That's what they didn't want to do. But now that they're here, they have to. So, come on up. Bridges, you want to come up here, man? You want to come up here? Miss Joan, you want to come up here? Come up here. We need a friend to stay with us, right? I want y'all to stay by them, hold their hand so they don't hit me, okay? I want each one of you to know what a joy and what a privilege it is to have you come be a part of our family in God's kingdom and also our family here at Trinity Baptist Church. What a joy and what a privilege it is, and what a joy it is to be your pastor. And I want you to feel free to call on me at any time, okay? And I want you to know that God loves you and we love you, okay? And we look forward to growing with you and serving with you, okay? All right. Hey, let's stand this morning, and we're going to sing a song and be dismissed. Hey, it's good to have Brother Ron and Miss Sylvia with us this morning. Thank you for being here with us this morning, brother. It's good to see our other guests this morning. Anybody come from as far away as New York? Yeah, we got some folks from New York visiting with us this morning. It's always good to have our friends come and visit with us. Hey, let's sing this morning. We'll be dismissed.